Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another segment of Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. This is the channel where women from all walks of life can stop by, get tools and resources to help them thrive 360 in mind, body, spirit, and finances. I invite you to stay connected, subscribe to this channel, and visit me online at thecindyrayan.com. Now for today's segment.
Hello, beautiful people. And welcome to another segment of Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. I am so excited. You know, I always get excited when we have guests, but we have Miss Susan Murphy from Charlotte, North Carolina with us today. And Susan says, you can't shoot a moving target.
Nope.
So that go, go, go. How are you, Susan?
I am well. Thank you, Cindy. Thanks for having me on the show. And what I mean by you can't shoot at a moving target is, in my career, I have always put things together. I have cobbled together a career that has allowed me to stay in the broadcast industry, but move around enough so that you can't shoot at a moving target.
This is true. This is true. Mm-hmm. Love that. I love anything progressive. So tell us, Susan, what brings you into the industry besides the broadcasting? Of basically voices, you know, finding your pitch, finding your voice. I've looked at that as find your voice along with your pitch. So give me your take on that. What makes you, give us a little background.
Well, the background in the broadcast industry is I did my first radio commercial when I was 14 years old. So I've always been sort of tuned into voice, and I majored in communications, wanted to do television, spent most of my career in radio, but then got into public television. I'm a voice actor. I taught at Hofstra University and at Stony Brook University for several years. And when I moved down to North Carolina about 7 years ago, what I was noticing was that I would watch TV channels, news channels, and I would see young reporters who looked great. I saw that they could shoot a good story, that they would ask great questions, they'd put the story together well. But then their narration or their voices just didn't match the professionalism. So I thought maybe I could help that. Because when I came up, a lot of us left college and went straight to radio, which gives you a voice background. Well, now that doesn't happen anymore. So I ran this idea past a news director friend of mine. He thought it was a pretty good idea, sent me two of his reporters. Didn't pay me, but wrote me a very nice recommendation. And I hung out my shingle on LinkedIn. And lo and behold, 18 months later, I have VOSAT, Better Broadcast Voices. News directors send me people. People find me by word of mouth. And in about a four-hour session broken up into three chunks, what I do is I help these young people really dig out authentic voices to match or to sometimes support or to help grow their authentic reporting skills.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Mm-hmm. So your background allows you to do that. So what would be something that you would do to help a person find the actual pitch if they don't already have
it? Sure. And it's not just broadcasters for me so much anymore too. I've kind of expanded out a little bit kind of accidentally, sometimes coming from doing these podcasts. But what I've worked with ministers, I've worked with nurses, I've worked with financial advisors, and I've worked with women in higher level C-suite positions in their companies who are just either intimidated by being in a room, sometimes being the only woman, and then having to present. So I can sort of up those skills. And one of the first things I would tell you to do would be, and the simple version is, as you go to present in front of a group or even have a conversation with your children or your spouses, lower your shoulders. Let all the tension go here, because what happens is when your shoulders are tense, then all the muscles into your neck and into your jaw tense up. You kind of clench muscles around your chest, you breathe shallowly, and the pitch of your voice rises. if you relax those shoulders and breathe into your belly before you begin to speak, chances are a much more authentic, natural tone will come up. Now, some people, it takes a lot of practice. Other people find it somewhat quickly. But I have breath exercises to work with. And I mean, there's a much longer version of how I do this. But the short version is lower your shoulders and really breathe all the way down to the bottom of your diaphragm, which is where your authentic voice lives.
I thought when you were saying that, when you said breathing your belly, I said, that's like singing. You know, you have to get that air into your diaphragm. Correct. So that's similar to that process, to use that natural from deep within versus, I would say, animated. I've heard all types of voices at this point, but rather than like animated. And, you know, and what I thought about as well, when you reached out to me, I thought about this would be important because a lot of people, even with what we're doing right now with this, you know, broadcasting with the podcast, it's like a similar type of situation where a person has to find, you know, their authentic voice or their pitch or just, you know, basically be yourself. But I think a lot of times there's an anxiety behind the actual process, which, you know, I guess would allow a person to tense their shoulders or, you know, basically kind of be off kilter. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think for women particularly, what I have learned, and I didn't know I would be uncovering this when I started working with young reporters, is that, okay, yeah, I'll go through the voice exercises with you and the breath work. And I'm not hearing what I'm supposed to be hearing. So what I've learned is that for a lot of young women, breathy, girlish, high-pitched voices go back to their childhoods. Okay. And very often those voices were used by those young girls as a way of kind of getting through a dysfunctional family, trying to deal with authoritative parents or teachers, getting older into their teenage years. Maybe that girlish voice had something to do with a romantic partner, but it's not authentic.
Okay.
You're using a fake voice to get what you need. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Sometimes it's necessary to do that. But now that you have stepped into adulthood and you've stepped into a business world, why wouldn't you want to present yourself authentically? And the first thing that happens when you dig out and use your authentic voice regularly, the first thing that happens is confidence grows. And there are women who have come to me and said, Susan, I cannot tell you how healing this has been. Because wow. I have given them permission. I'm sorry they needed it, but I've given them permission to step out of a voice that no longer serves them.
Wow.
So, it's very heavy at times.
Yeah, you just wouldn't think so, but I mean, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. How would you relate your profession as a person also finding their voice as far as the words to say?
Ask me more about that. I'm not sure I understand.
Okay. Let's just say a person, let's do a hypothetical. Let's just say a person's never done any public speaking before, hypothetically. And, you know, they've written it out. They're good behind the scenes, writing things out, but they don't know how to present. How would you help that type of person?
Sure. Okay.
Finding their voice.
I tell my clients, I'm going to ask you to eat an elephant, but we can't eat the elephant all at once. We'll do this a little bit at a time. And in learning to become an effective public speaker, you can only concentrate on so much at the beginning. When you're speaking to groups of people, it's all about the storytelling. It's not about the facts. It's not about you. It's not about your business. It's not about how good you sound. It's about the connection you make with the people in the room. And the best way to make that connection is by storytelling. I don't care if you are an accountant or if you are a scientist who researches the most dramatic diseases, if you can learn to speak authentically, with enthusiasm, and simply, talk about that in a minute, in front of a group, you're going to have them eating out of your hand. You have to connect with them story-wise. And the simplest way to do it is not to memorize anything, and you don't want to read from a script. You want to have bullet points, and you want to tell stories, and you want to make eye contact, and you want to use pauses. You don't want to go a mile a minute in your presentation, or everybody's eyes will glaze over. What did she say? I've lost me. Yeah. So, right. You have to, the pauses are for two reasons. For the speaker, you can lower your shoulders again, take in another good belly full of air, bring that pitch back down. It also gives your head a second to move ahead to the next sentence. But really, a pause is not so much for you as it is for me, the listener or the audience. I need a minute to absorb what you just said. So when you put pauses into your presentations, it just allows people to follow along. You're very familiar with the presentation. Hello, I've never heard it before. So you got to go a little more slowly for me. Or if it's very technical information, well, I'm very famous for saying to my news writers and the anchors and reporters, you write it like a fifth grader, but you deliver it like a college professor. Simple stories, simple words, short sentences. If they come from the heart, you're going to connect.
Absolutely. That is true. So basically, as the voice, I don't want to say voice coach, because it just sounds so much more than that. So if they're writing it as a fifth grader, they're presenting it as a professor, the end result is positive. That's the gist of it.
Always positive. There is nothing bad or not. Everything good comes out of making your presentational voice, or the voice you use at home, or the voice you use with your children, as good as it can be. I've often said that if we all spent a little bit more time being intentional with what we're about to say, trying to make room for the other person who's receiving this information, and if we spoke a little bit more slowly and a little bit with more intention, we probably wouldn't end up super angry, saying things we don't mean to say, yelling at the top of our lungs. Now, nothing's perfect. Of course, we're going to do it on occasion. But for those serious conversations in the workplace or with a spouse, if you can just be intentional, lower, relax the shoulders, take a pause, think before you speak, communication will be a lot more effective. And effective communication is at the heart of everything.
Yes, that
is. And when we're also busy, you know, the busy woman's, you know, what you do, we don't think about what our voice sounds like, or are we going too fast, or do they understand me? Yeah. So when I teach my clients breath practice, not what you would do when you're in the heat of battle or on air or in the middle of a presentation, but the practice of it is you breathe in on the count of four and you exhale on the count of six. It is somewhat like yogic breathing, which activates your parasympathetic nervous system and slows down brain chemicals that want to tell you to be nervous and start to sweat and get your heart pounding. The breath work helps to slow that down. So it makes you a more focused speaker as well.
That sounds great. So in your history of doing this, have you ever experienced, like, you gave somebody instructions, but it blew up in their face? Have you ever had someone, like a disaster story, or it didn't go as planned or as you taught them how it should go?
No, I've never had a disaster story, what I sometimes find is, particularly when the news directors send me their top weather people or their best anchor, and this is in smaller markets, smaller TV markets, that these people don't think they need me. Why am I here? I what are you going to teach me? So then I have to very gently walk around their egos and show them the benefit that will just make them a more mindful broadcaster, that the breath work will make them a little less exhausted at the ends of their at the end of the show. So never a disaster, but do I have to walk carefully with some of those people? Yes. And have some of them done what they needed to do, and then I never hear from them again? Yes. Do some of them ignore the practice? Of course they do. And if you're not going to do the practice, then I'm not so sure you'll, in fact, I'm positive you won't notice any change.
Right.
That's the downside of what I do, is when people are just so up against, I don't need this. Everybody needs this.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And yeah, I wondered about that. So there is a little resistance.
Yes.
There is a little resistance. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So yes. Let's just leave it at yes. I'm thinking of stories and I don't want to spill that much tea.
So yeah, it's okay, because a lot of times you spill it without names. just scenarios and hypotheticals. So let's see here. What would be your key takeaways from this for what a person should learn as far as controlling their pitch? I mean, I remember about the shoulders, because mine's were tense this morning. So that's why I laughed when you said it. I was like, yeah. So what would be some key takeaways?
When I look, I've taken voice acting lessons, I've taken singing lessons, and then just 40 years in the business. It was a singing teacher who taught me about the shoulder thing. That for me was life-changing. I had no idea your shoulders had so much to do with your pitch, but it's just the constriction of muscles from here up. And if you can let a lot of that go, because we all carry tension, stress right here, the key takeaway is to really let the shoulders go, because it relaxes everything north of your shoulders. And then breathing into the belly, takes a second and a half, as opposed to what is called conversational breath, which, you know, babies know how to breathe and their bellies are in and out all the time because they don't know otherwise. It's after we start to walk and we start to take directions from other people that breathing changes and it becomes more shallow. Not to say the air doesn't get into your diaphragm, which then sends it to your lungs. It does, but you're taking shorter breaths, more breaths, and you're tense and the pitch of your voice is way up here, and it's exhausting. Not only is it exhausting for you, but if I had to listen to a voice that was up here for half an hour, I'd be exhausted listening to you.
Right. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Lower your shoulders, take a breath, and speak intentionally. I use that word all the time, intentional.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the takeaways. And I think if you start there, you'll see little bits of progress that you'll start to add into. And when you take those pauses in front of the audience and you start to get good feedback, they're connecting to you with your eyes and their eyes,
right.
You'll start to be more confident and you'll take more chances in your speech. But if you keep it about the storytelling, if you connect on a very personal level, we all love stories.
Right.
And you're really off to a good start.
Wonderful. That makes sense. That makes sense. I appreciate that. So this is the Busy Woman's channel. So as a busy woman, however organized, as a busy woman, what do you do for your relaxation? How do you decompress? What is your self-care regime?
Good question. In appropriate months, I do love to get out in the garden. I recently had some new landscaping done. I can't wait for the spring to add my own touches to it. And I have sort of an unusual hobby. I collect dollhouses.
Aww.
I furnish them, paint them, wallpaper them. I would love to do it sort of as a business. I love sort of interior decorating. I just do it on a mini scale. And I find it really takes you away from whatever else is going on. And you're so interested in the tiny little details of a dollhouse. That's great relaxation for me.
Yeah. You have to work the left and the right side of your brain. If it's just like one dimensional, you just feel like you'll burn out quickly. But if you can have some outlet, something different, it always balances it. It balances it out.
And for the longest time, I didn't even admit that I did this. And I've only been doing it for maybe the last 4 or 5 years because I was kind of embarrassed.
Oh, don't be embarrassed.
I know. I wasted a lot of time.
I will repurpose furniture. I'll start to paint something. My mother's the best painter, but I'll start to paint and, you know, fixed. So I love interior designing as well. But especially with the pandemic when we were closed in, I had projects.
Yep.
I had projects. I mean, they weren't on like a doll's house. They were full-fledged projects and it took me away. I love it because I love the outdoors. But when you're forced to stay inside, it's like, okay, what do? I've cleaned, I've dusted, you know, I've rearranged, what else? And so I started working on those repurposing projects. I ended up selling them, you know, because I just didn't say, well, I'll just let it sit there. But you have to have something else that you do besides your regular norm. So I definitely get that.
And the pandemic offered us that opportunity. So it's like, okay, why not? I wonder, would I have discovered dollhouses without the pandemic? I don't know. So I do think, and then once you get into it, you realize what a great idea it was. And why didn't I do this a long time ago?
You can't wait to get back to it. Cannot wait to get back to it. It's like me finish my day, the admin stuff, and get back to my project. Yep. Totally get it. Totally, yep. Completely.
Exactly. Yeah, busy. You can have your brain busy on one side for work, but busy on another that just enriches your life. I sing in the church choir, another really great outlet. And during the pandemic, when we didn't sing, man, you notice it when you can't do something you love.
Yes. That's what, like I was talking to you earlier about the networking. You know, you miss that. And so it's like, we're kind of now, you know, slowly acclimating to what's going on, whatever it is that's going on now, but trying to get back to some, you know, sense of normalcy. So definitely right side, left side, work them both.
Yes. And hopefully we've recalibrated the balance of right side, left side.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. How can people contact
me? You can always find me on LinkedIn, Susan Murphy, but type in voice coach because there are a few of us. But my website is VOSAT, which I should explain what that is. VOSAT is broadcast shorthand for voiceover sound on tape. So you're watching a newscast and an anchor is reading a story about an adoption event at a dog shelter. And so she's reading the copy and then she stops and then somebody from the dog shelter talks about what the event is like. And then she finishes the story. That is called a VOSAT. So my company is called VOSAT, Better Broadcast Voices, and I'm SusanMurphyVOSAT.com.
That works. I love it. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for coming on.
I am so delighted that we got to cross paths, and I hope we do it again. And busy women sometimes just need the reminder, and I would be here to remind you to slow it down, speak authentically.
There you go. Thank you so much, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you again for tuning in to Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Follow me on social media at Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Remember, together we write our stories, share our journeys, create memories, and leave our marks in history. Until next time, peace, blessings, and joy be multiplied to you. Ta-ta.